Monster Man, episode 403, Ghost and Ghoul. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are returning to Monstrous Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, James, hang on, it is a Friday. Friday means that this should be a special episode. Well, I mean, you have a point. Basically, what happened is that over the holiday, I let the kind of pre-production process for specials fall off a little bit, and therefore I'm a little behind on producing listener specials, but hope to be back on top of things in the coming week. Speaking of which, I know that there are some backers at the $5 level who have not yet received your listener specials, and as far as I know, you know, going through my lists, as far as I know, if you haven't had your 2021 listener special yet, even if that special was actually in 2022, it's because I'm waiting to hear from you. So if you have been thinking to yourself, gee, I wonder where my special is, check the email that you use for Patreon, because I know that some people, you know, they sign up for Patreon, but they don't want to get the mailings or whatever, so they use an address that they don't check very often, or check your Patreon message inbox, because there's probably a message from me saying, what do you want for your special, and you just haven't got back to me. If I've missed it, I'm terribly sorry, but just get in touch. Okay, let's talk about our monsters for this episode. I'm actually quite glad that I did this week instead of next week, because I was just the other day talking to a friend about one of these monsters, and I think he had a lot of interesting things to say. But let's start with the other monster, the Ghost. Now, the Ghost has had a curious history here on Monster Man because, you know, way back in 2017, when I covered the Ghost in episode 21, in fact, the same episode as I covered our next monster in, the thing that really struck me about it was the extent to which the first edition Monster Manual Ghost doesn't really align with any type of folkloric ghost. And that's actually true for a couple of the undead creatures in the Monster Manual. And maybe the first My Favorite Monster episode, one of the first anyway, when I spoke to Hannah Powell Smith about ghosts, you know, that was something that really struck her as well. And so we spent some time talking about ghosts in, you know, horror fiction, in adventure fiction, in folklore, and in games, and how the Monster Manual Ghost just doesn't really match up with any of them. Now, the Monstrous Manual Ghost, so the second edition ghost, takes that first edition ghost and really drifts it back toward what you were probably expecting from a ghost. So, for instance, instead of humans who are exceptionally evil in life dying and becoming ghosts, this says that ghosts are either humans who were exceptionally evil or those who died in a particularly emotional way, and then spends the entire rest of the entry just talking about that second definition. So I think that first one is kept in there to maintain consistency with the first edition Monster Manual, but obviously that definition has been discarded, which leads more in the direction of thinking that this is an idiosyncratic Gygaxian definition of ghost. Gygax is gone by this point. So, you know, whoever is in charge of writing this entry, and they're not clearly credited, which is very frustrating, both from a creator's rights perspective and from a doing your research perspective, they have moved back toward what you or I would expect when someone told us we were dealing with a ghost. So ghosts are pretty dangerous. They have the power to frighten people, and they can age them. Just seeing a ghost can age you, but then if it hits you, then you get even ageder. And they have, just by their nature, they have some defensive abilities that essentially make them pretty immune to anything a low-level party can do to them. But they have some restrictions. Like, they're typically confined to the place that they haunt. So ghost isn't going to go chasing you. You go to the old ruined abbey, and there you see the ghost, and then you run away, and you go and have a think about how you want to deal with the ghost problem, and then you go back. So the examples of what could create a ghost are pretty consistent with what you'd expect from a ghost story. So they include things like a businessman who, like, whose business failed and was ruined, and he haunts, like, the shop of his competitor that drove him out of business, or, like, a woman who was spurned in love, and she haunts the place where her lover and the partner that she was, like, thrown over in favor of. The word it chooses to use is tryst. So I imagine, like, a kind of lover's lane type environment. And in addition to that, we're given the notion of unfinished business, right? Which could be either that the ghost's remains need to be properly buried, so someone needs to like find the bones and bury them and say all the right prayers and whatever, or that the problem needs to be solved. The example they give is the ghost of a young woman who was like betrayed by her lover and wants the PCs to ruin and humiliate the cad. Cad is a pretty mild term here because it actually says that the lover murdered her. You'd forgive her for wanting more than for him to be betrayed and humiliated. But this leans toward, you know, specifically the idea that you can get rid of a ghost that you couldn't beat in a fight by setting right the thing that made it undead, which makes the ghost a more narratively satisfying antagonist. It's not even really an antagonist, right? It's a problem to solve. And that's fun. The only thing that's curious about this entry is, why wasn't it always like this? And as with the gargoyle, I'm left wondering, was it always like this? I would be willing to bet that whether or not this is how the Monster Manual 1 entry was intended, because remember, those entries are pretty terse. You know, it may be that we are just not reading into those entries things that were intended to be read into them, but I think probably not in the case of the ghost, just because of that evil mention. But I'm absolutely willing to bet that that is how ghosts were played in D&D, more or less consistently, even if that's not how they were written. Now let's go on to the ghoul. The ghoul is the monster that I was talking to Lion Rampant Viking in the Sun co-author Gianluca Roccagni about, and he's currently doing some research into ghouls in the Arabian Nights. And in the Arabian Nights, ghouls are much more complex than I sort of gave them credit for when I first talked about them, again, back in episode 21. And in my defense, it was over 4 years ago. I mean, I called them boogeymen, and they're definitely boogeymen, but they appear in a variety of different roles in those stories, and my understanding is even more different things in Arabic folklore. If you're not, by the way, if you're on Twitter and you're not following Dr. Ali Olomi for discussions of like magic and folklore in the Muslim world, I really recommend it. So anyway, in the stories, these creatures have all kinds of abilities, including shape-shifting, and they're not just the kind of like corpse-eating graveyard dwellers. But that, I think, is the sense in which they made it into Western literature outside of the Arabian Nights. And then Lovecraft took the term and used it for this society of subterranean corpse eaters. You know, that's quite a Lovecraftism. Or, well, at least he does it another time as well. Because, like, Mego, right? Mego is already the name for a monster from, what, Nepalese Tibetan? There's Yeti and Mego, and one of them is Nepalese and one of them is Tibetan, but I can't remember which one is which. But anyway, Mego is an existing name for a monster. So taking a name of a monster from folklore, particularly one that wasn't as well known at the time, and using it for a somewhat different thing, I think that's a very characteristic piece of Lovecraftery. I guess Dagon is another example, right? So anyway, Lovecraft took this term. You know, it came from Arabic folklore. It wound up in the Arabian Nights. That became popular in the English-speaking world. That influenced Vathek. Lovecraft got ghouls probably from the Arabian Nights. We know he loved it. And maybe from Vathek, I don't know. And used the term for his subterranean corpse eaters. And that is very much what these D&D ghouls are. They are Lovecraftian ghouls. This is specifically humans who, through the act of cannibalism, have begun to transform like a curse or a disease into ghouls. One thing that is missing from the D&D ghouls that is present in both the Lovecraftian and the Arabian Nights ghouls is the idea that they have kind of animalistic features. Indeed, when Arabian Nights ghouls shapeshift, they often can't hide their animal-like feet. They still have hooves. And that is a trait, right? Like, Lovecraftian ghouls, although they have dog-like or jackal-like features, still do have hooves. This seems like a nitpick, but I was looking at the wording of this entry, and in many ways it's kind of awkward. So, for example, we're told that ghouls are, quote, subject to all attack forms except charm and sleep spells, which surely could have just said immune to charm and sleep spells. It does kind of make you appreciate the more kind of cut and dried matter-of-fact language of later D&D editions a little bit more. On the one hand, I agree that reading like the 5th edition Monster Manual is not as fun as reading some of the older ones, but on the other hand, if I just want to look up what types of attack a creature is immune to, there's just a line in its stat block that tells me that. So, you know, there are some benefits. Because this is Monster's Manual, we're getting combined entries, so the ghast is rolled into the ghoul entry, avoiding the weird situation that we got in Monster Manual 1, where the Ghast, the buff version of the ghoul, kind of there as a little trap for players who think that they're only fighting a mob of regular ghouls, alphabetically comes before the ghoul, so you get introduced to the overpowered version before you've met the regular version, if anybody ever just read the book alphabetically cover to cover, which I don't think is how it's meant to be used, right? But here, the Ghast is put in the ghoul entry because you'll only ever run into Ghasts in the company of ghouls. And of course, there's an aqua ghoul, the Lacedon. Like the Capuasynth, I have no idea where the Lacedon comes from, and initially, my response was, nobody asked for this. Nobody said, let's have an aqua ghoul. But, you know, there is a line in the description that actually I found pretty evocative, where it talks about Lacedons swarming a shipwreck. And the image of all of these kind of rotting corpse-looking dudes swimming through the murky water, all the debris is, like, bobbing in the water. I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool. And it made me think of, you know, if ghouls are people who degenerate through cannibalism, then actually, at sea is kind of one of those environments where opportunistic cannibalism might happen, right? In general, humans don't tend to eat each other outside of specific, like, ritual cultural contexts, right? So even cultures that do practice cannibalism don't just have, like, oh, I think we'll have human for dinner tonight, right? They have specific contexts in which people are eaten, often as part of a funeral practice. Not to generalize, but the idea is that eating the dead person, you know, means they continue to be part of you even after they're gone. Or in the case of, like, a defeated enemy, by eating the body, you take that person's power and add it to your own, right? So the usually highly significant ritual acts in some way, rather than just like, oh yeah, we eat person. Except in cases of extreme privation, right? Your Donner parties and whatever, where a lack of available food means that people eat, again, very rarely, like, kill other people to eat them, but do eat other people who have died. But so I was just thinking about this in terms of a shipwreck, which could be one of those few, like, we all joke about, you know, not wanting to be the guy in the lifeboat or whatever, right? So we have that stereotype about shipwrecked sailors and cannibalism, and actually that could lead to Lacedons. You know, imagine this community of shipwrecked sailors that are on, like, a deserted island, and the only thing they have to eat is the bodies of their former crewmates that are, like, in the ship at the bottom of the lagoon. And so they, you know, they not only begin to turn into, like, flesh-eating ghouls, but into, like, water ghouls, because they're, like, swimming down there and going down into the shipwreck. So it makes them better at going down to get their food. Or maybe it's a curse put on them because, you know, they've blasphemed against the spirit of the lagoon by doing this horrible thing in there. That's got legs. You know, Island of the Ghouls? I think there's something to that. So, you know, normally when we've got an aqua version of a monster, I kind of think, you know, who asked for this? But actually, Island of the Ghouls is all right. That's about all the monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, once again, we're going to be continuing our journey through Monsters Manual, and we were about to hit the Giants section, which fittingly is very large. And I can't decide whether I'm going to do it all in a oneer, whether I'm going to do old Giants and new Giants, or whether I'm going to split it in half, just for mercy's sake, because there are a lot of Giants in D&D, and not a lot of them have changed that much since first edition. But some of them have, and some of them are new, so I look forward to being able to talk to you about them next time on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons attribution license. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.